Hebrews chapter 3, I will not keep you very long. I realize what time it is. You do not have to look at your watch. I already know. Hebrews 3, I knew it was going to be a little bit late, but I want to talk to you about something actually that the cooks just sang about. I try hard not to brag on people. Let me brag on you for just a second. It is wonderful to be able to go away and know that everything's going to be all right. It is wonderful as a pastor to be able to go away and know that things are going to go on. Preaching's going to take place. Invitations are going to be given. Babies are going to be watched. Children are going to hear the gospel. Everything's going to happen. And thank you. Thank you for taking care of Brother Petronico. What an amazing story. That's a whole other story, some of the things that happened to him and hindrances that could have been, and the devil fought, and yet he came. And God blessed, and I know he did a great job. I knew he would, and knew that that was God's will that he be here. And so praise the Lord for that. And of course, Brother Dave preaching on Wednesday night, knew I could trust him. Always can trust Brother Chase, Brother Tim, take care of things. Everything happens like it's supposed to happen. What a blessing. What a joy to not have to worry, to not have to wonder what's going on back home. And then I praise the Lord for Patty and Saritha, who are godly examples for our young ladies. And they are. They are just good examples for these girls and have been for years. And what a blessing it was to watch them work with the girls. They wanted to be busy. Well, I think Patty wanted to be busy. Saritha might have wanted to relax a little bit. But they didn't relax much. They kept running and seeing and doing and busy. And I praise the Lord for them, but I cannot say enough about these two young ladies that are seniors in our Christian school and in our church, and they represent what we want. They really do. They just gave to others. And when it was said that they helped Becca and Buddy, I cannot tell you how much they helped two young teenagers on a mission field. It was such a blessing, and boy, I tell you, it's what we want. But I want to talk to you for the next few minutes in Hebrews 3 and verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I believe this is talking about the children of Israel entering into Canaan. Canaan is not a picture of death. Many times people talk about that, and I realize we talk about crossing over Jordan into heaven and all that. And Canaan, though, really represents life. It represents the abundant Christian life, the life that God wants for every one of us. I wish, and this is the thing, Brother Smith, we talked about often, he wants for his people there in Barbados. Why can't they have abundant Christian life? Let me ask you a question. Why can't you? You understand, here in Hebrews chapter 3, the people didn't choose it. They didn't believe. They didn't trust God. They didn't believe him enough to say, God, I want that mountain. I want that life. John chapter 10, verse 10. Go ahead and turn back there. John chapter 10 and verse 10. So clearly, Jesus, we know about eternal life. We know that he came to provide salvation and eternal life for us. But notice what it says. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. We know about that. That we might have life, salvation, eternal life. But what's he say? And that they might have it more abundantly. It's not just for when we die. It's for today. It's for now. It is God wanting us to have an abundant Christian life. God did not part the Red Sea so we can be in the wilderness. God didn't part the Red Sea so the people could all die. And as it says in Hebrews, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. He didn't part the Red Sea so you could get saved and just live a so-so boring kind of a life in the wilderness. He parted the Red Sea so they could go to Canaan. And he parted the Red Sea in our case so that we could have an abundant Christian life. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, if you would, real quick. And I just want to go through some verses about the life that God had for the children of Israel and the life that he has for you and I, an abundant life. And, you know, I think so much of it, the cooks sang about it, you know, that you know, whatever God wants from me, whatever God wants me to do. And Brother Henry preached about it this morning, you know, as far as does God have you? Does he have control of you? You know, we think and we rebel at that. But what about what I want? But that's not the abundant Christian life. The abundant Christian life is doing what he wants. The abundant Christian life is yielding to him and letting him take your life and do with it whatever he wants. It's like this. It's two girls saying, okay, we can decide what we want to do for our senior trip, and we know pastor's going to work it all out. Well, it's not pastor working it out. It's God working it out. Some people think I'm a travel agent. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do. God had a plan. And they had no idea. In fact, none of us had any idea what all of it meant. But he always has a plan for what it means. Amen? And it's a matter of just saying, God, we'll just do whatever you want us to do. We'll go where you want us to go. We'll do whatever it is. In Deuteronomy 9, we see Moses reflecting on the future life in Canaan. And it's such a wonderful parallel to the abundant Christian life that God wants us to have. And just real quick, I want to go through some of these things in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and through Deuteronomy 11. Not all of it, just a couple things. First of all, notice the possession here in chapter 11 and verse 10. For the land. Again, there's the land. He parted the Red Sea so they could go to the land. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it's not as the land of Egypt? Then why do we live like Egyptians? Amen. Is anybody out there? Are you all thinking about cookies and brownies and stuff? Oh, forget that right now. Let's get into this, all right? Because if you don't act intelligent, we'll never get out of here. Oh, that's scary. So again, it's not as the land of Egypt from which he came out, where thou sowest thy seed. Now watch this. Now we think about Egypt as Egypt, but notice where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Notice what he says, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Amen. Look, we have this idea. Well, I want to be saved, but I want to do my own thing, and I want to work everything out myself. God says, no, but what you need to do is you need to have the abundant Christian life where you don't have to work it all out for yourself. I'll work it out. Glory to God. I mean, it's a land that was watered by the Lord, it says here. God said, in Egypt, you had to figure things out. In Egypt, you had to try to work everything out. But in the Canaan, I'm going to take care of the land. It's a land of hills and valleys. It's a land where I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of you. It's amazing how many Christians are laboring, stressing to try to get everything to work and everything to fit, when all you need to do is say, God, I trust you. I cross over Jordan to go into the abundant Christian life where you take care of everything. There's such a difference. It is not only watered by the Lord, but it's also watched by the Lord. In verse 12, he said, the land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. He's got it all under control. Isn't it amazing? We're getting ready to fly to Barbados, and just a couple of weeks before that, this guy in overseas, I believe, I can't even think of where it was now, Norway or something like that. But anyway, the co-pilot decides to have a suicide plan and kills everybody on the plane. Immediately, people are saying, Pastor, are you checking on the co-pilot of your plane? Listen, I'm not worried about the co-pilot because I know who the pilot is. And you never have to worry about things when God is the one in control. And he said, this is the land I want you to have. Oh, today, listen, if you're rebelling against God, you are going to lose in the long run. It's when we surrender Because the character, the possession that we have, the type it is, it's watered by the Lord, it's watched by the Lord. Now, there are certainly going to be, there's going to be problems. Notice chapter 9. He didn't, you know, God didn't say that in the promised land and all that, it's just going to all be fun and games. There's going to be problems. Chapter 9 and verse 1, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Well, there's going to be problems. This is what caused their fear before. This is what kept them out the first time. This is what caused them to go to the wilderness. It was all these trials and all these problems and all these issues in their life they were scared of. And again, when we just trust God, when we just let God have control of our lives. It says, look at verse 25. It says, Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I fell down before the Lord. There are always going to be problems. There's always going to be issues, even in the abundant Christian life. But you have a God who's in control. We have a God who wants us to trust him. A famous evangelist spoke one time and he was late for his train, and he jumped on the train. A man was following him, trying to ask him a question. And the man yelled. He said, Hey, he said, sir, he said, how can I lead a straight life? And the evangelist turned and couldn't really talk long. And he had a pencil in his hand, and he said, can this pencil stand up? And the man said, well, no, he said, it can't stand up. And so he held it up with his other hand. And the guy said, well, yeah, but you're holding it. He said, yes, and God will hold you if you'll just let him. All our problems, all our issues, all our, you know, the things that we bring on ourselves, we don't have to. We can trust the Lord and know that there's going to be problems and know there's going to be issues and know there's going to be trials. But God's going to take care of it. Remember, it's a land. It's a place where it's taken care of. It's watered by the Lord. It's watched by the Lord. And there are, yes, there are problems. But notice chapter 9 and verse 4. And the thing that helps so much, it says, Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And life is always more abundant when we remember what we came from. Amen. I mean, it is always more. You know, here's our problem. We look at what we think ought to take place, and we look at what we think we deserve. Let's not forget what we really do deserve. You know, every one of us made a statement while we were there in Barbados that we are spoiled rotten. We are. Brother Smith, they sing every verse of every song. They sing 10 songs. And it's 85 degrees. And there's windows open and the wind's blowing through and folks are just singing. I mean, my voice is going. We're singing. And Brother Smith, he said, Pastor, he says, I like it when you sing tenor. Sing tenor. And that's high. And I mean, and we're just singing every verse. And folks are so happy. Who else wants to sing a song? I'm thinking, I don't want to sing any more songs. And I mean, and you know, we're singing along, and all of a sudden Buddy gets up and smacks a centipede on the wall. Brother Smith said, What are you doing, son? He said, Centipede. Good, get him. Next thing I know, there's commotion over there, and some ladies had trapped one and killed it. We just keep singing. Just keep praising the Lord. 85 degrees, sweat. I'm talking about sweat's pouring down, you know. But see, it took me back, and I remembered as we set up the chairs, as we took down the chairs, because they rent a building, and I remembered renting the basement of the library, and I remembered that. You know, can you imagine if we had to put the pews away every service? It's different, folks. Sometimes it's a good thing to look back at all that God has done and the blessings that you have. Life is more abundant when you remember what it was. They were slaves in Canaan. And God said, I want to remind you of something. It's not because of your righteousness. It's because I'm your God. You say, boy, and I don't like my car. You've probably had worse. We had a 65 Chevy that the headliner was falling out of when we were in college, and my wife had to get her parking. She had to get her driver's license in Florida with that car. It didn't have power steering. She had to parallel park. I thought that was funny. 65 Chevy. It was a piece of junk. It got us back and forth. We had to drive all the way down to Orlando. It was 90-some degrees, and it had no air conditioning. 65 Chevy, it had very little of anything. But you know what? We had that 65 Chevy, and then we got a 75 Pacer. A Pacer. Remember Pacers? Looked like a pregnant roller skate. That Pacer was such a blessing. It had air conditioning. And the best thing about that Pacer was, it wasn't the 65 Chevy. Now today, honestly, I think about that Pacer, and I think, man, that thing left us stranded. I don't know how many times. It had a little computer. It was one of the first computer things they started putting in cars. Now they're all over the thing. And when it rained, we would have to get out, and it would just stop. And we had to get out, there was a little box there, and you had to beat on it. We learned you had to beat on that thing. You had to lift the lid up and beat on that. Many times, pouring down rain, Pensacola, Florida. When it rains in Pensacola, it doesn't just rain. It's buckets. And we'd get out, and we'd had to beat on that little thing. But that Pacer still, boy, the Pacer sure was better than the 65 Chevy. But then we got a 79 Dodge that was given to us. And boy, that Dodge was nice. Air conditioning. Didn't have to beat on a little box to keep it going. Amen. And all the way down. You know, we felt like we were in heaven each time because we remembered how bad it could have been and what it was. Why do we keep always look forward and say, here's what I deserve, instead of saying, look what God's done? Amen. The abundant Christian life. It is so wonderful because look where God brought you from. Amen. And then we see here the present, and in chapter 10, and I'm just about done, chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? So here he talks about what he requires. He says, first of all, fear the Lord thy God. That's like a child would fear his parent because of doing wrong. By the way, children don't fear their parents unless they're doing wrong. You know, they have a respect for them, knowing that they, within them, is the power to punish. And I'm not talking about a timeout. I'm talking about a workover. Amen. I mean, fear. Fear the Lord thy God. He said, what do you need to do? Well, I want the abundant Christian life. We said, fear the Lord thy God. That'll keep you in check. Fear of chastening. How about this? A fear of not pleasing God. When's the last time you were afraid you didn't please God? When is the last time? These young ladies, they took their violins, carried them. You know, I was thinking, why are you taking your violin? But I knew it was going to be a blessing, but I on a plane and everything, and they had their violins up in the storage space, and they had to loosen their strings when they fly because of whatever violins do that they aren't supposed to do when they're up high like that. And so they did all that, and then they had to tune the violins. They had to put it all back together and get it to work right. I think they had a fear of they wanted to please God. We just want everything to go well. We want to be a blessing. That's what we want. The abundant Christian life is one we're scared to death we won't please God with what we do. I'm scared to death. Instead of trying to figure out, well, how can I give something so people know that I gave something, but I don't want to cripple myself. It's like, I'm scared I didn't give enough. That's fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Again, it's, you know, I want my way, but walk with him and do it his way. And then he says to love him. To love him. Not words, action. To love him. Do you love him today? And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. To serve him with all thy heart as a servant. You know, to serve him with all thy heart is not to try to gain for me. It's to say, what can I do for you? The abundant Christian life. And to keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Amen. To keep them. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in chapter 11, verse 22, he says, for ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. And look at this, to cleave unto him. Isn't that good? To cleave is where two things become one. Do you cleave to the Lord? Or are we just kind of trying to get through the church thing? You know, I got to get through it and then go on Monday and do my thing. You ought to want him Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Again, it's the abundant Christian life where it's life. It's the Cooks getting up and saying it's their life. That is their life. It's the Hollands. That's their life. That's why their daughters. It's just their life. It's what they do. It's the abundant Christian life. Amen. And in chapter 11 and verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Isn't that great? You know, it's just where will you step? What will you do? It's yours. It's yours. I want to do as much as I can do because I want it to be mine. I want that to be something that I did. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. I'm afraid we have an anemic kind of a Christianity today where our prayers are just more ritual than anything else. We're not really claiming anything. Folks, we need to be a people that understands that our God can do anything. And when we call on him, we're calling on the one who can do it. And it's better than calling the bank and asking for a loan. It's better than calling grandma and grandpa and asking for a loan. You're calling on God to deal with and take care of whatever it is. It's a confidence that we have. Abundant life claims God's promises. Amen. Amen. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. That's so different than in the wilderness, Brother Livermore. That's so different. It's a different life. I'm afraid so many Christians, I mean, I see people that are frowning all the time. They just don't have any joy. I'm afraid that so many times it's because we've settled for the wilderness and we're just going to be a carcass in the wilderness. God didn't part the Red Sea for that. God didn't save your soul for that. God didn't send soul winners and bring people into your life. God didn't bring you into a church that preaches the truth so you could just live in the wilderness. And it's just trusting God and his promise in chapter 9 and verse 3. He says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. It's just a matter of trusting him. He goes before us. Amen. The abundant Christian life is God. God's already been to Canaan. God already promised us that. God has that for me. And he's gone before me, preparing the way for me. Amen. And it's just a matter of me trusting him. It's like when you're in the fog and you follow taillights. We've all done it. It's like when you're in the middle of the blizzard and you're following taillights. I followed a guy one time in a blizzard, a big snowstorm in Louisville, Kentucky, coming back from Pensacola. And I couldn't see anything. It's snowing so bad. And we're driving along and I'm following this guy. And I know where I'm going, but I have no idea where he's going. I'm just following him. He took an exit. I took the exit. He went on into Louisville. I was way off. I just kept following him. I had no idea. If he'd have driven off a cliff, I'd have followed him. You know, the exciting thing is God never takes us anywhere we ought not be. And you just by faith can follow him and trust him and know that he has gone before you and he's got it all worked out. And it's going to be the best. And of course, there's a conquest to be had in chapter 11, 25. And I close with this point. Chapter 11, 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. And the enemies would fear, and Satan would tremble. Do you think Satan trembles at you? He should. We are more than conquerors. We, dunamis, dynamite, power. Exousia, power. That's authority, power. Amen. Do the demons tremble when you get on your knees? I don't know that they'll tremble over "now I lay me down to sleep." Good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. I'm not sure they tremble over, but I think they might tremble if you're saying, you know what? I want the abundant Christian life, and oh God, I've got to have it in my life. And I need you, and I need your power, and I need your victory in my life. And I believe with all my heart that Satan will tremble at the Christian. Oh, he'll fight. There's no doubt about it. So many Christians don't know the abundant Christian life. They just don't understand. They don't get it. It's kind of like, you know, and there's so many illustrations I could give, but I don't know how many times I've gone through Chattanooga, Tennessee. Going south when we went to college, we went through there several times. I moved my mom down there. The first time I went through Chattanooga, I was pretty young. I was probably 18 years old. I moved my mom, Brenda and I moved mom down to Gainesville, Florida, and we went through Chattanooga. We had a, driving an old Chevy. I don't even remember whose that was or what it was, if it was hers or mine or what, but it had an old Chevy pulling a huge U-Haul trailer full. And I got on Mount Eagle. How many of you know where Mount Eagle is? Some of you, surely you do. No, not all. Okay, well, Mount Eagle, it's a mountain. You go up, and I thought, wow, this is pulling hard. That trailer was heavy. That was nothing going up. The problem came when I was going down. I've never been so scared in all my life when that trailer was trying to push me down that mountain. I had no idea. I was just a young driver. I hadn't driven many miles. I was terrified. It was an absolute terror that time. But then the second time was the time that I had my Datsun pickup truck and we were on our way down to college. And we stopped it. We had some stuff to drop off at mom's in Gainesville. So we took 75, went through Chattanooga again. There was my nemesis, Mount Eagle. And I had my Datsun pickup truck and we had a small U-Haul trailer behind us then. And, you know, we went through that area and up that Mount Eagle and down again. It wasn't quite as bad. But the third time, I was in a car, and I had no trailer. And I loved the mountains and Mount Eagle then. It was so much better. You know, the more weight, the less beauty. The more I lay on the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, the less weight and the more beauty. And if you'll just give it, learn to give it to Him and trust Him. And live that abundant Christian life. God did not plan for us to just dwell in the wilderness. I'm working on messages. This is kind of a part of a message that I've been working on. It's like the tabernacle. Okay, you have to go through the brazen altar. You have to go that way into the courtyard. But God didn't intend for you to stay in the courtyard. I mean, that's where it all starts, the brazen altar. It's kind of nasty, all the sacrifices of blood and everything else. But the courtyard's very boring. Study your Bible. The courtyard's drab. It's boring. There's really not a whole lot going on. It's not till you get inside. The abundant Christian life is inside. You know, well, I made it to the courtyard. Oh, whoopee. Okay, great. The only difference between you and the heathen out there is one little fence of animal skins. But inside, it's gold. Perfect illustrations. These are so good. Noah's Ark's another one. We got, you know, Noah's Ark. I preached on this sometime. And we talk about all the time that was spent in the ark and all the animals and Noah and his family and everything. And all those days, it's raining, raining, raining. Praise God, we're spared. We're saved from the flood. Amen. Hallelujah, we made it. But days and days and days and days and the animals eat and the animals... And as I was preaching in Barbados, pretty soon, as they were in the waves of the waters and everything, there was a swish, swish, swish on the inside of the ark too. That's why God said, Noah, when it's time, get out. We're so happy we're saved. We're on the ark. We're so happy we're saved. We're in the courtyard. We're so happy we're saved. We got through the Red Sea. But God has more. Amen. He has an abundant life for us. So many are you're in the ark swishing. So many you're in the courtyard looking around saying, well, there's not much going on. Pretty soon you'll be gone. So many you're in the wilderness. And you're saying, you know what? I miss the garlics and the leeks and the melons of Egypt. You wouldn't if you were in Canaan. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Pray for me. God's speaking to my heart. Father, bless our invitation, please. Thank you so much for just how you speak to our hearts. Thank you for the illustrations in the Word of God. These just a few that, Lord, are wonderful illustrations of what we sadly settle for instead of all that you have for us. Help us to make decisions now that maybe we'd cross over into the promised land of abundant life as a Christian. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads